Hey guys, welcome to the studio today.
We have John Paul Wallace, local Detroit musician, in the studio. Welcome, John Paul.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Happy you're here. So you came fresh off a performance from last night. You were out in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yep. Yeah. Just a solo gig out at this place called Venue in Ann Arbor. It was my first time there, and it was super cool. Restaurant, bar, super nice spot, and
awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Flawless performance.
I don't know about that, but some little kids requested Frozen.
Okay,
Let It Go. So that I had to struggle my way through that one. But,
gotcha.
But other than that, everything.
So you
good.
Do take requests.
I try to. Cool. Yeah, they don't always go very well, but sometimes they go really well. So it's a coin toss.
And you're open to doing covers.
Absolutely. Yeah, for the solo gigs, you know, at restaurants and bars and casinos and stuff, it's pretty cover heavy set.
I like that. I like covers, and I've listened to a lot of your music. So you do some great work.
Thank you.
Yeah, starting with dating back to your graduation ceremony, you covered Lucas Graham 7 Years,
yep.
And that went viral.
Yeah, it went crazy viral.
Yeah, talk about that. Like, what inspired you to sing that song?
Yeah, so at that time, I really wasn't too into songwriting yet. I was still kind of trying to learn and figure it out. So my main game was just posting covers to like Twitter and Instagram, you know, and I had a little bit of success with that. And I wanted to cover 7 Years by Lucas Graham because it's obviously a great song. And I just fell in love with the song as soon as I heard it. But in the song, he says, once I was 20 years old and I was 17. So I was like, I should adjust these words a little bit. And I'll remember this moment as long as I live. But I was in the shower listening to it. And because I was working on trying to learn it. And I was like, oh my God, I should make this about graduating, because it was halfway through my senior year. And I was like, that's perfect. And I literally sat down at the piano out of the shower and wrote the entire thing. And it was done like in one. I've never written anything that fast in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember like my mom and sister came home and I was like, guys, you guys come listen to, you know, what I just did. And they were both bawling their eyes out. I was like, God, this is something here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was really proud of it. And I ended up getting it recorded. My mom took me to the studio and I played it for our class council, which is a couple peers and a couple teachers. And I really wanted to play it at our senior goodbye assembly. That was what my whole goal was.
Right.
And they said I could, and they ended up making it our class song, which was really cool. I played it at the assembly, which was honestly way harder than the graduation performance. I was like petrified, and I had played keyboards for it. And it was like, you know, 1200 kids or whatever it was. It just like completely dead silent. And I remember like shaking as I was playing. Like it was, yeah, that was
feeling
terrifying.
A little intimidated.
Yeah. You know, I'm staring at my entire class, you know, and in high school, that's like horrifying.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, you're so excited and passionate about singing.
Yeah.
I love the tagline on your Instagram. It says, I friggin' love singing.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I get that about you though,
yeah,
too. It's like, that's awesome. Has it always been that way for you since you were a young guy?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was really young, I just would, you know, sing pretty casually and around the house, but I think I really fell in love with it when I learned how to play keyboards and piano. And once I was able to accompany myself and, just like whenever I wanted to, I could just sit down and play and make music. It totally completely changed my entire perspective on music and my entire life, really.
Yeah.
And then it really hit another point again when I learned how to record myself and use recording software. And then it was like I can sit down and actually create a song and a fleshed out idea whenever I want. And so once I kind of developed that bit of freedom where I'm not relying on like other musicians or, you know, engineers or paying for studio time when I want to just create.
Yeah.
It just became a cycle of
amazing,
wanting to create as much as I can.
That's so cool. Who inspired you when you were a kid, like in the music industry?
I'd say the Beatles was probably my first, like one of the first CDs my parents gave me was like the Beatles Ones album, you know,
yeah,
which is just like hit after hit after hit, you know?
Yep.
And that was like one of the first things I used to listen to that all the time. And then there was a handful. When I was a kid, I loved the Jonas Brothers. Like I was a huge fan.
Yeah.
And then once I got into high school and started really getting into music, John Newman was a big inspiration of mine, his early stuff. He was really like the keyboard in a lot of his records inspired the way I played when I was learning how. Mm-hmm. And Stevie Wonder was a huge influence. I was obsessed with Stevie. When I was in high school, I was a big Stevie Wonder
fan.
That's
awesome. Yeah. I did not know that. I read a lot about you, and I know a lot about you, you know, just from your family and stuff, but I did not know that. That's awesome. I like that. Cool. Yeah, and you got a lot of press, too, with that graduation ceremony performance. I saw some clips of you with Jason Carr.
Yep.
And you were in the news studio. What was that like?
Live in the D. Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, the whole thing with the 7 years video was it happened completely on accident.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that video existed of the performance. Like, the only video we had was my parents using their really crappy camcorder,
right,
and it's from like a side. You can't even really see me. It's blurry. The audio is terrible. So after graduation, I didn't even know that video even existed.
Okay.
So someone else uploaded it. It was one of my classmates' parents who uploaded it to his channel where he promotes his, I'm pretty sure he promotes his camera. And that's why he posted it, was like to promote his like camera that he was using, you know, because he was so far away and it was so clear. So everything that happened after that was just utter, like, I was on cloud nine, you know, like I had never done anything like that. So going to the news and, you know, getting interviews and articles and stuff, I was just like, this freaking rocks, you know,
this is
just so fun, you know? Just
and you like, showcased your talent so beautifully, like your voice. It's great.
Thank you.
Your range, all of it. Very professional.
Thank you.
Yeah. What is your favorite part of performing? What do you love most about performing?
So I perform in a lot of different settings and different capacities. So there's like I'm pretty busy with the solo gig stuff, which is really me playing, you know, for crowds who are sitting there eating dinner, getting drinks, whatever.
Yeah.
And those are pretty chill and laid back. And then obviously I have the shows like we're playing at L Club, you know, next month, which is like we promote it really heavily. We really focus in on arrangements, and it's a lot more that goes into those shows. So for those where it's really a big production, it's the high energy that I like feed off of.
You know,
my band is awesome, and they like we feed off each other. And by like the third song, we're all out of breath and sweating, you know.
And it's
just like it's electrifying.
Good vibes.
Yeah, and when the crowd is there and can respond, it's euphoric. Like I live for that moment, you know?
Yeah. What a good feeling. How many band members do you have?
So in the past I've really done, it's been a three piece. It's been me. And then Anthony Fiolik is my drummer, and he also runs tracks and things like that. And then Ryan Haley will play guitar, and occasionally he'll play bass as well. And we've been performing like that for about 3 years now.
Whoa.
So those guys we've been through so much. Like they've played empty rooms. They've played the worst sound system you could possibly imagine with me. Like it's like those are my ride or die guys.
That's
you know?
Really good. You know, 3 years is usually that mark when you really get to know everybody's true colors.
Yeah.
You know, when you develop those relationships and friendships, that's pretty good that you guys are solid 3 years moving forward.
Yeah, I like absolutely.
That. Yeah.
And so yeah, we've done a lot of different projects and you know content projects. They've written and done some of my songs that, you know, I've released, they've been a part of. So
yeah,
those guys, I like with all my being love those guys, you know? So for this upcoming show though, we expanded. So it's the three of us. And then we've added a bass player and Brian Iglesias, who is also my collaborator on the project that we're releasing, Footprints.
Yes.
So he's playing bass for the show, which is really cool. And then we're adding horns, background vocalists, and a percussionist.
Wow.
So we've got like, I think it's like a 10-piece band for this upcoming show, which
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge group.
I'm excited because I'm coming to that show.
Heck yeah,
I bought tickets.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
So we'll have to promote that at the end. We'll
Definitely.
Send links and all the places you can buy the tickets from. But where is, what location is that?
So that show, July 26th, is at L Club in Detroit.
Right.
So it's in Southwest Detroit. And yeah, it's our first time playing that venue ever. And it's our biggest headline spot ever
so far.
So
exciting.
Yeah, we're super, super stoked.
Yeah. And what a great collaboration with Brian Iglesias. So
yep.
is this your first collaboration with someone along those lines or?
It's my first time doing it in this capacity where we've like every step of the way, you know, from writing to the rollout, to the videos, to the show have been in lockstep the entire way. So I've done songs here and there with people and, but it usually the kind of collaborative part ends at the studio is done, you know what I mean? And, there's not much of like planning together going into the rollout and all that kind of stuff. So this is my first time really doing this intense of a collaboration.
Yeah. Well, the video is amazing. It's a beautiful video. You, Brian Iglesias, and the band there.
Thank you.
That leads to my next question. What kind of, what leads you into your creative headspace when you're putting together a music video?
So for a music video, it's a lot of different things. I struggle with the visual component of things a lot of the times, but I've got a pretty awesome team around me now who helps out a lot with that stuff. So shout out Stefan and PJ with Mitten Mob. And we a lot of times, like the video work, Stefan really is the guy who, he's a video like connoisseur. Like he's incredible at directing, shooting, editing, the whole nine. And Brian as well is really good visual for that. But usually it starts like we analyze the song and like the emotions that it, you know, makes you feel. And then we try to come up with a full concept beforehand of what we can do to, you know, translate that visually, you know, and kind of lean into that. And also play into, you know, what have we already done? What kind of content are we missing, you know, and as like an entire portfolio. So yeah, that's kind of what goes into it. We usually make a complete, you know, shot list and plan and everything, and then go in and shoot it.
How long do you think it? How long does it typically take to create a music video for one of your songs?
So I'm not going to speak on the editing because that's all, you know, usually Stefan and Brian, and yeah, they put in a lot of hours on the editing side. But as far as the shooting goes, it could be anywhere from, I mean, we've done stuff, you know, in 2 to 3 hours, and we've done stuff that's been more like, you know, 5-6 hours, and some stuff is multiple days and multiple locations and stuff like that. But it can be any number of stuff. You know, we've done stuff where it's pretty close to a one shot where we just set up and we get a couple takes and we use the best take. And then we've done stuff that's a little more like, you know, we do 3 different shoots for it and combine everything together, you know?
Yeah. So I have to ask, what would you be doing if you weren't in the music industry?
If I was not in music at all, I would say I'd probably be, my family owns like a pizza and ice cream shop, and I would probably, I've pretty much always said I'd probably get really involved in that.
Yeah.
So my sister and brother-in-law are running it right now, but I would probably want to partner with them and get in on the action with that.
Cause
it's something I'm super passionate about, but I know I can't like give it what I'd want to give it because I want to give all that energy to music, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I would say if I had to pick something else, it would be that.
Well, we have that in common. I'd love to own a pizzeria. I'd love to get in there. Yes. So you have 2 sisters, and you have, one is a musician.
Yep.
And that's Rocky, right?
Yep.
And she's out in Tennessee.
You bet.
And so you guys are real supportive of each other.
Absolutely.
And so do you guys ever look at collaborating?
We have in the past. We've done some stuff together, mostly like cover stuff. But we've always joked about this because people will ask us to do, they'll send us stuff like, you guys should do the song together. And not so much now that she's moved, but when she was up here, we used to go to events together. She'd come to my shows, I'd go to her shows.
Yeah.
You know, she'd hop up on stage at mine, I'd hop up on stage at hers, you know?
Yeah.
People would always send us songs that we should duet, and they were always love songs.
Yeah.
And we're like, we can't do this, man, you know?
That's awkward.
So we always joke about that. And it was like, though, at some point the right song will come along where it makes sense that we can do it together,
yes,
you know, and it's fun and it's cool and it's fits both of our styles and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely not off the table. But yeah, and she's helped me with my stuff. I've helped her with her stuff before, you know. But
yeah,
we just haven't really gone in to do something that's for the both of us, you know.
So, what are some of your favorite singles that you've released from the start of your career with actually coming into the professional zone of things?
Yeah. So I've been releasing music since about 2018 now. There's been a lot of stuff that I've really, really fallen in love with. And some of it is like, when I look back on it, I'm like, oof, don't know if I would have done that like that again. You know, it's like some of it's looking at like old yearbook photos.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. But there's other ones that I still, you know, really love over the course of time. I would say one song of mine, the oldest song I think that I have that I still will listen to and enjoy is Never Ended Storyline. It's a pretty deep cut, but it's, that one, like when I released it, was my favorite thing I'd ever done. And it's still like, it still does something to me when I hear it, you know?
Yeah.
So that one's really great. And it's with my friend Hope Whaley, who's out in LA now, and she's doing awesome stuff. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
So that one and 3-2-1 is like, to me, that's like my classic. You know, every time we play it live, it goes crazy. People love it. And so that one's always really fun as well.
Awesome. You got a lot of new music coming out all at once.
Yeah.
So you are like, you're booming right now.
Yeah.
What are, talk about some of those singles for the audience here, and where can they download those?
Absolutely. So I released a project called Amir Starting Place earlier this year. That came out in March, and that was 7 songs. The single that I love the most was All In, which is kind of the focus track when we dropped it. And that's, I did a video for it of falling in a frozen lake, yeah. You know, and, I just love that song. I wrote it, produced it, and mixed it all myself. And so it's one of the first songs that I've really had full, like, soul creative total control over it from start to finish, you know? So I'm really, really proud of that one. And it's a song, it's one of the songs I feel like I've always tried to write, yeah. You know, as far as, you know, the sound of it, the feel of it, the vocals of it. I've tried to create that on a number of times and it never really hit the way it did on that one. So
yeah, well, that is a great song and I love that video.
Thank you.
And I wanted to talk, we talked a little bit off camera before we got rolling here about the process, falling in, you know, carving out the chainsaw and carving out the ice. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that for the audience.
Yeah. So I had the idea of doing like falling into a frozen lake in some capacity last year. But I had it too late and the lakes were thawing, so we couldn't get to it. I didn't really have the right song for it at that point either. And then this past summer I wrote All In. And we were looking at doing video stuff this winter, and I was like, guys, I have the idea for All In. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things. I was like, I know nobody else is going to do this. Like, right. You know, like, and I've been getting, you know, I was really into cold plunges for like a year leading up to it. So I felt like my manager, Stefan, who's the video guy, was like, we need to like really come up with a plan. Like, we should have extra people there. Cause like, it's like, you're going to be like hypothermic getting out of it. And I was like, dude, I do this every day.
Yeah,
you know, like I've been training for this video specifically.
I was going to ask if you had first responders on the scene for that.
I had Stefan and PJ and that was it.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it was funny, but they're like, yeah, I could tell Stefan did not want to do this for a while leading up to it. Cause he was like really nervous about like the safety aspect of it.
Right.
And I was like, I do it all the time, you know, like yeah. It's going to be fine. So I asked my dad if I could borrow his chainsaw. I was like, hypothetically, I have a friend who wants to get into a frozen lake that's got like a foot of ice. Like, what would he use for that? And he's like, he would use a chainsaw that I have that he could borrow.
Yes.
I was like, okay, perfect. Sweet, thanks.
Not your average ice fishing hole.
Yeah. And it was funny because there were like, it's a public lake and there's just signs I say swim at your own risk, you know.
Right.
So there's nobody there that like is going to tell you to stop,
right?
But there was like across the lake there was like 2 ice fishermen, you know, and they were the only other people out on the lake. And so we filmed on top of the ice for a while, you know, doing different takes and stuff before I got wet. And then once I fell in the water, I think they were both like looking over at us. We could see him from across, like, what the hell is going on over there? And we'd cut like a huge hole in the ice, and
it had to be big enough for you to fall in.
Yeah, so body, we kind of cut like a cross into the ice so that I could like put my arms out, you
yes.
know. And then when we were done, I was getting paranoid that like someone else is gonna fall into this, you know.
Right.
So we had taken some of the blocks that we cut out and like put it around the hole so like people knew there was something there, you know.
Yeah.
I was like in my car and stuff, we were getting ready to leave, and I saw the ice fisherman just like walking up and like looking in the hole and like looking back up at us like, what the hell were they doing out here?
I love it. But so it for the funny. Video, was that a one take deal? Like, cause you fell, I watched the video, you just fall right back in there. It's midwinter. You fall right through the ice. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But that was a one take.
Yeah. So that was what I was most afraid of. I like falling in the frozen, you know, the cold water, whatever I was nervous about. But the biggest thing, I was like, we cannot screw this shot up,
right.
Because like we can't, like we'll have to come back and do a whole nother shoot day if we do, you know. And it was getting towards the end of winter, you know, it was a bit of a heat wave coming in, so I was like, we don't have time for that, you know. So I was terrified that we were gonna miss the shot.
Yeah.
That was my biggest fear, but luckily we didn't, and
beautiful.
It came out great.
It is amazing, yeah. And that's on YouTube. I know that. Is that on any other platforms too?
The video is not yet, but yeah, we've just been, and now we've started the rollout for the next project and stuff. So I think we're going to put out more content around it, you know, next year and kind of revisit it. But yeah, we quickly went from that project into this new project, Footprints, which is coming out in July.
Yeah.
So, Moving on quick.
Well, that video kind of speaks to one of the questions I was going to ask you about your wellness practices, because I know you are into biohacking a little bit. You do the cold plunges because I watch your social media and I see you doing it. I do that stuff too. The cold plunge isn't my favorite thing over cryotherapy. I like the cryo chamber versus the cold plunge.
I haven't done that before.
But I'll do both. Yeah. Right? And so, but you do it. You sit in there. You do a full 3 minutes or more.
Usually 3 minutes. Sometimes, like, if I can't see the timer, it's, you know, it'll go 4 or 5 minutes, whatever. Just till it feels like 3 minutes, you know.
Right,
but
exactly.
It's usually 3 minutes.
Usually it's three for me. I can do it, but it's like, oh my God, the tingling in my feet. You know, it's my feet that it like stings the most.
But your digits.
I haven't conditioned myself to the cold plunge like I have the other things that I do.
Sure.
Like I'm into sauna and all those things. But I would think like just being a musician and all the, you know, your crazy schedule and keeping up with things and keeping just, you know, focus and mental clarity that, you know, you're into some biohacking, you know, outside of cold plunge too. What are some of the things that you do to, you know, keep up with
everything you've got? My biggest thing is, and this wasn't even really a conscious like decision I made, but I drink so much water.
Yeah.
Like it's like easily a gallon a day. Sometimes it's more.
Important.
But it started during the pandemic and I was at work and it was hot and I just started bringing a whole gallon cause I was flying through water bottles, and then it turned into just now just always having a gallon of water on me and drinking a gallon a day. And I guess I didn't realize how much that affected me, you know, until you don't drink that much and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
So I really like that is, I think, conditioned my body to kind of keep going through a lot of stuff, you know, cause I don't have the best diet. Definitely. I'm a bit of a foodie and, so that's what I struggle with.
I am too. So I feel that.
Yeah.
I love pizza. I love all the good stuff, but within moderation.
Right.
And water, dude, helps. Yeah. It's like so great for brain function and hydration.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, in the recent like couple years, I've really cut back on drinking alcohol as well.
Awesome.
Like every once in a while, usually if it's like weddings and stuff, that's what we like. My girlfriend and I always say like weddings is our time to, you know, go crazy.
Cause
you know, it's open bar and all that. But outside of that, man, like we don't really, you know, we go out to bars, it's Shirley Temples and, you know, more water, you know? But I've noticed that like it really made a big difference, you know, and just like the recovery period after that, you know, like you like drink one night and it, you know, I feel it for, you know, 2-3 days.
Holy smokes.
100% back.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Your brain function deteriorates.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was a pretty big change, I think, that I think really affected, you know, me staying on top of my game all the time.
That's a great one. You know, like when I started making changes for myself, when I started my business, I just started doing 90-day challenges for myself. And I used to, you know, drink more than not.
Yeah.
And so once I kind of like dialed back and kind of kept to myself, you know, I realized, wow, I don't really drink that much when I'm to myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then
it's
I was like,
social thing.
Yeah, totally. And then I just kind of stepped back and I was like, let me see if I can do 90 days, like no coffee, 90 days, no alcohol. And I was able to do all those things past 90 days.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I could
awesome.
Take or leave anything. And I was like, that's interesting. But then also, upping my water intake, like that was huge during that time because, you know, I don't drink soda. I cut all that stuff out and it was just like, boom, water all day long.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Huge hack. Yep. Amazing. So what are you looking forward to most this year for as far as your gigs go lining up?
So into our, like now we're rolling out the Footprints project, which is coming out on July 26th.
Yeah.
And the Elk Club show on July 26th. I'm absolutely like, we've been planning this literally since January.
You actually have a bus for that.
Oh,
a whole tour bus happening for that. I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, I live really far from Detroit.
Yeah.
It's like an hour away and I make the drive, you know, multiple times a week, you know, for gigs, for studio time, for whatever. I always perform down there and my community up where I live is like not making that drive all the time. You know what I mean? And I definitely get some people who come out to shows and at every show, there's a few that are making that drive for it, you know, but our big thing for this show was like, how can we activate every like pocket of communities that I have, you know, from around the state. So, so the one idea we had was getting a bus to go from up where I live down to Detroit, and it's working, man. People are excited, and it's going to be a party. So yeah. I'm super stoked.
I love it. And you guys, you play? Are you down at the Russell Complex often too, or
Every once in a while, I'll go for Hyped Up Live. Yeah, you know, because they have always got cool acts there, and you know, T Money and York are awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll go and hang out there and say what's up to everybody. But yeah, that's and anytime I pretty much go to see T Money, it's there. But,
yep. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. We've had T Money on the show. We've talked about you.
Yeah. He's awesome, man.
Of course. Yeah. I live in the same rural area you do. So I know what you're talking about. Yep. Like, it's hard to get people to go down to Detroit.
And it's funny. Like, you know, I'm every time I see people, I know they're always like, when are you going to play around here? And I'm like, probably not ever. You know,
right,
like,
yeah.
It's not, you know, it's just. It's not a pop and R&B music scene up there, you know?
Right. I totally get it.
So, and you know, I say like, oh, I'm playing down in Detroit this week. And they're like, oh, wow, you're going all the way down there. And whereas to me, it's like, it's just so normal, you know? Where I think a lot of people, you know, they live up there because they want to be, you know, away from the city and in the quiet rural areas.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, what do you want the audience to know about you and your music overall? Like, what would you say?
I feel like the one thing I want to make sure like translates, you know, and throughout my entire being is just like how much I truly do love performing and, you know, just being around and doing music and singing, you know, like I do freaking love singing.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I love that. And I get that about you.
And it's funny, it's like perfect answer. A lot of these, like the solo gigs, you know, are usually 2-3-4 hour nights. And for me, like, you know, I usually will charge a restaurant, you know, the fee for having me there. And they always ask like, well, how much, like, what's the price difference between, you know, like a 2 hour versus a 4 hour. And I'm like, dude, I'm paying to reserve the night to come and set up. Like I will sing for 6 hours if you want. Like, I love that part. You know what I mean? Like I'm happy to be here. Once I start, you're gonna have a hard time just getting me to stop, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'll keep going as long as you want. You
it
know?
Comes right from your soul, dude.
Yeah,
I can
right.
tell. That's awesome.
So whether it's, you know, it's a packed space, it's an empty space, it's, you know, there's five people or there's 500. It's just like, it's, I just love it so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Amazing. That's a great answer. And talk a little bit more about your collaboration with Brian Iglesias.
Yeah. So Brian has become a super good friend of mine. I met him probably only about maybe 2 years ago, year and a half ago, I was in the Assemble Sound residency program in Detroit, and he works for them. So through that residency program, we would do like weekly meetings, and every once in a while we do what they call like a song review, where everybody in the program will play something they're working on and get feedback from everybody.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people in there are like hip hop and indie, and you know, they have a whole span of genres. But every single time I would play something I'm working on and Brian would play something he's working on, and like the styles were so complementary of each other.
Yeah.
Where every single time we're like, dude, we gotta work together. We gotta do something together, you know? And so we finally did. We got together and worked on a track, and it went really well. We loved working together. And then we ended up doing some sync work with that track. And then we decided to get back together this past November and just to do some writing and see where it goes. And we ended up writing the first song for what is now coming out as the Footprints Project. But we had no intentions really of making a project at that time. It was just like, let's make another song.
Yeah.
And that song is called Write Our Story, and it's coming out with the project. And then we got together again to finish that song. And we were both like, do you want to just write something else instead? Like start another one? And we were like, sure. So we started what became the second song that we wrote on the project. And then it happened again. We got together to finish those two and ended up just starting another one. And then we had like three really strong starts of songs, you know?
Yeah.
And we're like, we might as well finish it and make it a project, you know? So
yeah.
we did like an overnight writing thing. And we basically in two months, we completed the entire five song project.
Wow.
Yeah. So we wanted to have it done by the beginning of this year, and we did. And having that really expedited my rollout of A Mere Starting Place, because I wanted to make sure we could release this project in the summertime. So everything after that was just, you know, working on the rollout strategy and working on video content, album art and all that kind of stuff and planning for this show. But Brian, he's insanely talented. He's one of the only people I've ever worked with where I fully trust his creative input on things. Like I feel like like, I know when we go in together, we're going to come out with something I really, really genuinely love,
yeah,
you know, and something important. Where I'm so proud to have my name on it, you know? And yeah, it's just been a really awesome experience working with him and yeah.
That's awesome. So you guys have some good synergy there. And, you know, you said you guys collaborate on the songwriting.
Yeah.
That's gotta be like, that has to just be like, alchemy, like magic when that happens,
yeah.
Because that's not easy to do, collaborate with people on much, you know what 100%. I mean? Let alone your music, your passion, your soul, and putting yeah. music together like that. Wow.
And I've struggled with that for a long time. Like, I really, collaboration is like an integral part of
Absolutely.
Music, you know, like it's, there's no better way to grow your network and to connect with people than collaborating on a music level. So that was one of the things I really, when I joined the Assemble residency,
yeah,
their whole thing is collaboration. You know, that's the whole point of the residency program, is to get you with other artists in the same program and have access to studios to work together.
Yeah.
So going into that, I think the first time we all met up, they asked like, what are your goals for this residency?
This is Assemble.
Yep.
Yeah. I was going to ask you to touch on Assemble a little more.
I'd love to, cause I will like stand on a soapbox for them
yeah.
at all times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one of the first days they asked, what is your primary goal for this residency? And for me, it was to push myself to collaborate more, because like I honestly God hate collaborating. Like, I love being by myself. And,
yeah.
you know, in the past I've gone up north and rented an Airbnb just to be by myself and to write, and brought my studio equipment. And, you know, like, I love that isolation.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I feel like I've created my best stuff. So my whole goal with that was really to push myself to collaborate and work with more people and outside of my genre and step out of my box, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And, I did. And, you know, I made some cool stuff with some awesome people. I met a lot of great people. But it wasn't really, I didn't make a lot that really, I felt like resonated with me, like who I am as an artist, mm-hmm. until I worked with Brian. And it was like, immediately it was like, oh my God.
And you guys came together through Assemble, through that
yep.
residency.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting out of your comfort zone, man. One thing 100%. Leads to another. It's
100%.
Like, you know, it's supposed to happen when it happens.
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
that's
making
so cool.
this project with Brian was like, it was magical. You know, like there was a few moments, like the second single we just put out, Give Everybody Hell.
Yeah.
Making that's my favorite song I've ever made. And the night we made that song, I like is burned into my mind. Cause I've not felt that alive about something in so long leading up to it.
Also,
you know?
A great video. That's what I have up on the tablet over
yeah,
here.
Saw
yes.
That.
Yes. Very
Thank
cool.
You.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's moments like that, you know, where you just, you go into a studio and pull out of thin air something you now will love probably for the rest of my life. You
Absolutely.
Know?
It's it's creation.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. I'd love to get you and the guys from Assemble here to talk
yeah.
about what Assemble is all about, you know?
Yeah. So I was just a part of their residency program, but,
yeah.
but they also have an entire label where they sign artists and stuff, and they have an insanely talented roster of artists. But the thing with Assemble is like, they are, you know, I can't speak too much. Like, I'm not super obviously, you know, close with them, but just from like going into the residency program was my first exposure to what they do, you know?
Right.
But from where I'm sitting, it's like their whole MO is to revitalize music in Detroit, you know, and
yeah.
to be a part of the next wave of great music in Detroit, which I am all about. So, you know, they are so like, they are so keen on just supporting everybody that they feel, you know, is, you know, has good intentions and works hard, and they just do it really gracefully. And I'm like, I will speak on a soapbox for them any day, because like their residency program completely changed my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's the founder of Assemble? Like, who's the main? Who's
yeah,
our
so
main guy?
It's Garrett Kohler and Seth Anderson are
okay.
the two founders. And,
Got it.
But they have a whole amazing, yeah, incredible team.
And from the Detroit area.
Yep. Yeah, I believe everybody is from Detroit.
Yeah.
Originally, or if not, they live there now. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I went into that residency program not knowing any of them, you know, like I didn't know a single other person, like artist in the residency. I didn't know any of their team.
How'd you find your way to them?
So it was actually my guy PJ sent it to me the day the application was due and was like, hey, this is a really cool thing. You should apply for it. And like, I apply for, you know, everything under the sun that
yeah.
I can find for, you know? And so I was like, cool. I filled it out on my phone real quick and then kind of forgot about it. And then they hit me up to do like a Zoom interview, you know, because that was kind of how they were doing their selection process at the time. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I really read up on what they do. And I was like, oh, this is like shit. This is awesome, you know? And then once I got in there, I just like really, it even took a minute to like fully grasp, you know, the impact they're having, you know, around the, you know, the
city. Cool.
Yeah. It's really awesome.
Yeah. I'd love to get them in here. That'd be amazing. Go check that, that residency out. So that's an application process. So if a musician breaking into the biz wants to be a part of that program, that's about reaching out to.
Yeah, so I don't know. They've paused it now because they are moving into a permanent location.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they're bringing the applications back or not. So
if you're in, you're in.
I think it's kind of like you're in and they, you know, friends of friends and things like that, you know, and trying to grow or a little more organically
their network. Yeah, that makes sense. That's great. And so will any of those folks be joining the show on the 26th, the Footprints Project?
So actually a lot of the acts on the lineup are residents or former residents. Our co-headliner, Jacob Sigman, was in the residency class before me, and that's how Brian knows him. I've met him through, you know, that kind of connection in that circle. The one of the other openers, Little Visits, he was part of my residency class. That's how I met him. And everyone's kind of interwoven in that circle in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it sounds like you've made some great connections there with just making the move to step out of your comfort zone.
Yep.
And that's awesome. That's good stuff. Yep. I can appreciate that for sure. I've had to do many, many different things that I didn't feel like doing at the time, but one thing leads to another. And
absolutely.
Then magic happens.
Yeah.
I'm looking very forward to the show on the 26th. Was that your first time performing at the L Club?
Yeah. So this this upcoming show is my first time ever playing there. I've been to a good handful of shows there, and it's like one of my bucket list places around Detroit because it's a gorgeous spot. They've had a lot of, you know, name, like huge name acts that have been through there, you know, that are touring when they were on their way up, and even some really big acts who, you know, if they want to do kind of a smaller circuit and more intimate setting, they'll go to L Club, and it's incredible sound, incredible venue. So I'm super stoked.
And what does the bus tour look like for that anyway? What is that gonna how's that gonna shake down?
It's just like a charter bus, and we've got it going up from Hadley down to the venue and then dropping back off at Hadley. So it's going to be a party, man. I think they're going to have some pizza out there if you want to come and hang out early.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone's interested, hit me up. You know, the way we're kind of doing it is basically your ticket to the bus is your ticket to the show. So as long as you buy your ticket ahead of time through us, you know, we have physical tickets. We'll hold your ticket for you and then we'll, you know, reserve your name on the bus and you just show up the day of and hop on the bus and you got your ticket there waiting for you.
Now, where can people get tickets at? We'll provide a link, at the end here.
Yeah. So we've got some really cool custom physical tickets, which I'm super stoked about.
Yeah.
We've got the Footprints album information on it and stuff. And, so we've got those that you can reach out to me or Brian, Hugo Iglesias about getting those. But otherwise, it's on Dice. It's on like links in my bio. I'll get you a link for sure.
Okay, perfect.
Through L Club's website, everything will take you to that Dice link, that they use.
Perfect. And then, so it's just click the link, purchase the ticket and show up to the show.
Yep.
All right.
Easy money.
And if anybody wants to connect with John Paul, they follow you on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah. And TikTok. Instagram and TikTok are at John Paul Wallace. And Facebook's at John Paul Wallace Official.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a wrap.